Lime, duh.
Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Big NXT week, bro. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky. Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Clap, clap for myself.
I've been here for 12 years!
Yeah. a.k.a. Donnie Capri, from that time I went to Italy! Yeah, yeah, whoa, whoa! AKA the modern day goof and spoof, Raja!
WWE Champion Jinder Mahal!
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby! Gubba, gubba, wee!
Gubba, gubba, wee!
Gubba, 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 wee! Yeah, yeah!
Gubba, gubba, wee! Gubba, 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 gubba!
Under.
This girl, she's mine. And
holy motherfucking shit.
Damn, she's fine.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy wrestling reactions. KT101, come at you. Sexy boy.
Sexy.
And man, we got a lot to get into, so I won't waste your time. But I got him on the line. You know him. You'll love him. the man of the hour. Mr. Nicholas Tiptoe with Tulo, what is up? All right, pause. I know we should pause the podcast right here. This is the 2:38 mark. Hold on, Tulo, I didn't plug you in yet, so you're not gonna be able to talk yet. Okay, Tiptoe with Tulo, Nick Tulo, what up?
9:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Daylight Savings Time. It's your boy Tiptoe with Tulo. How you doing, Dan? How you doing?
I'm cheersed up. Ask me what I'm drinking right now.
What are you drinking, Dan Black?
365 organic unsweetened black tea. Duh.
Duh.
I'm at home. I don't have access. I've been on the road. I'm back at home. I don't have access to the Lime LaCroix right now. It's embarrassing. It's disgusting. But normally I'd be cracking it into a cold one, you know, for the white collar working man.
Yes.
Absolutely. For the Google working man, a full fridge of every flavor of LaCroix for free. It's in a beanbag chair.
Anyway, to see it.
All right. Look, we got a ton to cover. This is a Monday morning. Hello. Welcome to your week working at the Hoagie Shop. Last week, my episode did not come in. Unfortunately, I had to work. As you guys know, I have a rigorous work schedule right now, working on a television show. And I appreciate you guys dealing with the delay. But, I mean, this episode was going to happen no matter what because, Jesus Christ, the spiciness of professional wrestling is off the charts. And to be honest, this timing works out amazingly because we would have... Keep in mind, we would have recorded this podcast normally before Crown Jewel. Okay.
Oh my God.
So this is pretty amazing. So we're going to go extra long today, and a Patreon episode will be coming out also today. So this is your special work week treat. Thank you for your patience, but we'll be back in studio this week for normal time. So another episode coming at you this week and Patreon episode. As normal, a regular episode will come out Thursday morning on your way to work. And our Patreon episode that's more NXT/AEW focus with me and Tulo will come out on Friday morning on your way to work. All right. Hey. And you know, the only way to support the show is on patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. I see you are increasing patronage. I appreciate your guys' support. We are not part of any kind of major network. We do this show grassroots, which gives us the freedom to change it on the fly. not be bogged down by network notes, all kinds of bullshit. No, no, no. We do what we want here, baby. And that's because you. We have the freedom of the fiend. Okay?
That's right.
You cannot throw me into an electrical bin. I will not explode. But support us over at patreon.com/comedians wrestling. For a couple of bucks, you get a bonus episode every single week, as well as bonus to our archives of full bonus episodes from all of 2018, movie dissections, tons of stuff. I mean, if I was sitting at a desk and I was looking to spend more time with me, that's what I would head over to Patreon.
Also, man, that Patreon has really taken a life of its own. It's good. We've got movie reviews, and you did life, like, what were we doing? What were those called? Lifestyle episodes.
That's right.
You can actually go back and listen to that. It's a good catalog.
Yeah, but I will say that speaking of movie dissection episodes, our movie dissection episode, the next one will be recorded this week. Hobbs and Shaw, that'll be coming out at the producer level. And starting this month, well, once a month, we will do a movie dissection. Our movie dissection for December will be Jumanji, which we will be seeing opening night as a group. And
Wait, are we doing that Summit Week? Is that happening Summit Week?
Yeah, which I haven't even announced that, yo, bro, but that's okay. Here's the deal.
Mark it.
Tulo, I have another great announcement for this podcast, okay? We will officially be having our annual Cal 9-to-5 annual summit, 8-hour episode that will be recorded this December. All right. More details to come on that. People are going to be flying in. It's going to be off the charts.
People are talking
about people. So, and then I'll say that for patrons will get access to that earlier than other people, the non-patrons. So you will be rewarded for your patronage. Anyway, let's get into it. Our Halloween contest, costume contest. Oh, that will be settled on the main podcast this week. So that the winner will be announced. We'll go through the costumes for you people that know. Halloween costumes based, wrestling based Halloween costumes that you rocked and post in the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group. We're going to be looking at all those on the pod, deciding who's the winner. And the winner is going to win a Fiend Let Me In hoodie. So
that's what I love to hear.
That's right. Cool. Anyway, are you ready to get into it or what?
I'm fucking ready to go, bro.
I can tell. All right.
I know. I'm hyped.
All right, so more details about when all this stuff comes out soon. Okay, hey, let's get the bell going. All right, cool. it's fine. All right, it's fine. But my bell didn't work, okay?
I said ding, 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 so it works out.
Okay. Where do we even begin? What a week in pro wrestling. So look, here's the deal. I have a bunch of notes. I have a bunch of thoughts, but I really think when you have a week, I think the beauty of this podcast, if you want, go to this, whatever CBS's wrestling podcast is. You guys want clean segments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want this? No. What I like to do on this podcast is really explore the markiness of being a pro wrestling fan. One of my favorite things about pro wrestling conversations is just how, like, the conflation of issues and content and the jumping around and being like, oh, that's, you know, let's talk about AEW. Oh, let's jump over here. Let's do that. I love that.
Yeah.
So look, you want a clean segment, head over to, it's called cbs.com/wrestling and MMA podcast hosted by something Jackson. I don't know. I have no idea who hosted it. Anyway, because all right, here's where I want to start, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm going to purposely avoid starting with Bray because we know I have a tendency to spend 4 hours on Bray Wyatt.
Sure do.
Okay.
You know, well, it's because he's one of your guys.
Yeah, one of my guys. And by the way, I see the listeners are taking to the one of my guys thing. And listen, I believe that, and this we'll talk about this more in the Summit app, which is where we kind of rank wrestlers. I think we nail on this podcast how we rank pro wrestlers, you know?
Yeah.
The one of my guys thing is the best because this is how you shut down arguments with people. You talk to someone and they're like, this guy's good, blah, blah, blah. And you're arguing and you're like, he's not that good, blah, blah. Just get to the point where, look, I recognize what he's good. Right?
Yeah.
He's just not one of my guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just hate to break it to you. He's not one of my guys. So stop it. Like, We'll get Finn Balor, okay, who's a great, I recognize a great talent, hot dude. He checks a lot of my boxes, you know?
Yeah, a lot of boxes checked.
Just, he's not one of my guys.
It's funny, though. He sounds like one of your guys on that.
Feels like one of my guys, but ultimately not one of my guys. I don't know. And that can always change, by the way. You know, you could be one of my guys. Oh, and by the way, being one of my guys, you could do something where I'm like, I got to call you up. I call you up and I go, hey, look, listen, I got to tell you something. You're no longer one of my guys. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. You know, this isn't, you're not a made man like the mafia. You can flip up and then you're not one of the guys. You're out of the circle. You know what I mean? You see me out to lunch with the rest of the guys and you didn't get that text. It can happen.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's so good, dude. Right. You know, it's possible.
Like people are like asking like, well, what does it mean to be one of my guys? Well, I mean, like, I love Seth Rollins, but he's just not one of my guys, you know?
How is that possible? You love Seth Rollins. You're knocking me. Okay, so
he's not one of my guys right now, though.
Right.
He's not one of my guys. I mean, he really is not one of my guys. I do not desire
you
to see him.
You are way looser than me about falling in and out of guydom. See, because Seth Rollins is going to have to do a lot more after giving me one of the best nights of my life. He rocked my world. Me and him had a one-night stand up in Levi Stadium, San Francisco.
But that's what makes someone one of your guys,
WrestleMania 31,
though.
He rocked my world, you know?
Yeah, like, he's one of your guys, though, because of that experience.
Right.
That has a huge factor to it. Like, when you're somewhere where something happens,
right,
you have an obligation for that person to be one of your guys, you know? Right. Seth Rollins, one of your guys, and I completely get it.
Right. Anyway, that's not where, but I know you wrote up your full my guys list, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of guys I got to talk about.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet. Maybe next week I'll do my guys list. But here's what I want to talk about. I want to start with AEW. Okay.
Okay, let's go, baby.
So I want to just talk about, I want to talk about how much I enjoy AEW as a product and why I'm bothered by a lot of the criticism of AEW.
Right.
Okay, because I feel like people are not factoring in a major element. Hold on, my dog got something.
Oh, no, Dennis, what'd you get?
So with AEW, a lot of criticism I see are people saying, oh my God, AEW is supposed to be like fresh and new, but WWE would have done that before, right? And a lot of like, oh, I've seen that before in WWE, you know? Just be like, that. And I think that's a completely invalid criticism, okay? Yes. And I think it's the kind of criticism that's missing the actual core, the actual core reason people are AEW fans right now. And I told you about this when we talked earlier, but is people have a major trust of the AEW product, okay?
Yes.
And so when we think about what professional wrestling is going to be very repetitive by nature, okay? There's a lot of like you can get, and there are certain parameters that you can play with and you can push it. You got like guys like Matt Hardy who really pushed the envelope, you know?
Right.
And showed us what wrestling can be as an art form and really can treat it like art and cinema, you know? And also can do a lot with not much resources. You know, the Final Deletion does not look anything near what a WWE production level would be. So,
right.
And at the end of the day, it's a big arena and live fighting, a live choreographed fight in the middle, you know?
Right.
So, and since it's based on the sports world, you're going to have contract signings and you're going to have backstage interviews and you're going to have promos that, right? So within those, it's like, that's what we're going to see, right?
Right.
So, I have no problem with that. I love wrestling. I want it to feel like what I like about WWE. I just want it to be done better. And I think right now, let's not even have the argument that it's done better. Let's have that down the line, okay?
Right.
But the main argument is that I believe that AEW is going to take, I trust, let's say it, I trust is going to take more care with their storylines, right? And the continuity of characters and story arcs than Vince McMahon does. But the reason that people are upset with WWE is because we can have an amazing night like Friday night, and we can have that great Triple H promo, which we will get to. I promise we will talk about it.
Please.
We will talk about it. But okay, we have no trust that when Monday Night Raw comes on, that Vince even watched it, right?
Yeah.
But I believe that Tony Khan, and I have a lot of proof at this point, and I was very skeptical of this Tony Khan guy, okay?
Yes,
I heard his interview with Jericho before AEW started, and I kind of had this vibe. Not the judge guy, I had this vibe of like, oh, you know, not a vibe. I mean, he was really cool, nice, smart guy, it seemed like. But I was like, oh, he's very marky to the point where he might not understand what a TV audience wants, you know? And I'm okay. Like... I think I'm proven wrong. That was wrong. You know, I think that there's a lot of care going into ideas that I've seen before and ways to do it originally and way to do it that's more grounded, less hokey. And I just believe they're going to follow up on that stuff.
Right, right, right.
Because so small things that give me that confidence. Moxley, the whole unsanctioned thing with Moxley. Moxley walks through the back hallway, and then he goes into Tony Khan's office, and then they have a conversation that's subtitled looking at the door. Like it's like I'm watching the screw job again, like wrestling with shadows. This guy's a billionaire mark, right?
Yep.
Like he's Marky. He's like you and I if we had a bill, you know? And I just think it shows. There's also a looseness to AEW that makes it feel like, oh, this is these guys are they're more comfortable. And so I have a lot of trust that they are capitalizing on all of WWE's mistakes. The best mistake to capitalize on, the number one, if I'm Tony Khan and I'm looking to slice the Achilles heel of Vince McMahon, is continuity of story. That's it. You will kill you. It is the thing that WWE lacks. They lack structure, right? And they lack the fact of like, oh, they did that yesterday and then they tossed it tomorrow. And it keeps disheartening fans. And that's that sloppiness by Vince McMahon as a storyteller, not a TV producer. As a TV producer, he's out of this world talented. Out of this world, a visionary. He is. I mean, he's a megaton. He's one of the best TV producers ever. He's a visionary, incredible businessman, I guess. I don't know. We'll talk about the Saudi thing. I don't really know. But when it comes to story, the guy is not delivering the way that he should. And I think if AEW could deliver story and people want to watch week to week like I do, right? I think that AEW trust is why. So if you're criticizing people for liking AEW, are you seeing the core – the justification for why people like it, or are you just seeing the product? Because if you're just going to go, is SCU, hey, you could go SCU. They have the same level of ability as like Rude and Ziggler. Why is everyone liking that? Or like they're worse than this. But you're missing the actual point, which is that they believe that the continuity story is going to be high. You already have their, here's the proof. They already are showing guys win-loss records, which they said they would do, but they're actually showing them. So you're like, I'm literally like in my head, Adam Page comes out to the ring and then he goes, I've been having a rocky start. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't care about Adam Page, but I am interested in his journey as a guy losing.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I was ranting.
No, that was real. I didn't interrupt you. I was letting you go. Did you notice that? I'm going to let him finish this whole entire topic because it's true. It's true because, you know, and that's why I like NXT a lot too, is because everything feels like it matters. Like when you're watching a match, you're like, I'm watching this because it matters. Whether it's a rivalry that's existing, or it's for a title or something, you know, like, that's where NXT and AEW are shining. Like finally we get this flavor, this taste of what it could possibly be on the main brand on Friday. And like, you're like, well, why can't this happen all the time? You know, like why should this feel like, oh, finally, you know, WWE got it right for once, you know, but then immediately in your brain, you say to yourself, like, this is how we could be back to business as usual on Monday.
We can start off with Lana and fucking Lashley and
Rusev, and we will, because what are the odds that Vince McMahon is going to watch what happened on Friday, okay, and say and think of a guy with a level of ego that high is going to be like, oh wow, he nailed it. Triple H nailed it, when in reality he fucking nailed it. The ratings were way higher. Okay, yeah. Not to be the ratings guy, but to be the ratings guy. SmackDown has been lagging tremendously in the rating. I mean, I guess they had that. You can make the argument they went to FS1, but the numbers were up this week. This is no way around it.
For sure.
But Vince is going to want to, you know, that means he has to actually give a proper nod to Triple H, which I don't,
Do you know Vince was there, right? Like, he took his own, he was there. He was there for the whole thing. Apparently they're saying.
I knew he was back. Yeah.
He's saying that he wrote that show. He leaned on Triple H for like certain situations. So they flew in like the whole entire NXT roster and just decided who they were going to pick and choose, like, in those spots, you know, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
So, even though he was there and even though he wrote the show, we still could be back to business as usual on Monday. Until WWE looks at its fans in the eyes and says, okay, and shows you that, like, okay, this is what we're going to do this entire month. We're going to do this. So you're going to want to watch every single show because you never know how this is going to end up, who's going to be showing up and doing that. If that happens for the whole entire month of Survivor Series, you're going to get people to come back and watch. But if you don't do that, and go back to business as usual, where you tune into Raw and you're like, what did I just watch for 3 hours? I watched some cool wrestling matches, but none of it mattered. Like, then that's the big problem right now. But that's where AEW is shining. Like, you do, you're right. Like, you trust them. Like, I made a post the other day. Jericho and Cody feels massive. It feels huge, right? It may be corny in spots, but they're telling a big fucking story here. Like, Jericho versus Cody is like the greatest championship match of the year so far. Like, it's very like what NJPW matches feel like when you're watching.
Right. You're going to be pumped for it. The stakes are extremely high. You have a story there, which is like, this is Cody's company. He's the face of the company. He's beloved. People love him. He built this whole company based on his spite of the other company. And then the guy from the other company comes in and is demanding thank yous and is kind of right that he's putting the company on his back. Like, he's kind of right that he is their star. And it's like, correct, they know they need him. It's very good storytelling. I think it's shining. See, here's where I want to go. We can go two places, which is, I want to talk about SmackDown. I want to stick with AEW before we move on to hard WWE stuff. Cause I want to talk about Crown Jewel a little bit, and I want to talk, you know, but so I just want to talk about AEW and NXT right now, and I just can't get over how much more I'm into AEW than NXT. Now, you're on the other side of the spectrum there. I think what's going on is, first off, that trust issue where I'm like, I'm really trusting the booking of AEW and interested to see where it goes. Okay. There is a thing with NXT. Tell me if this is just me. Is NXT feels a little, how do I say? Like, it's a little, NXT feels a little small. It feels a little bit, and small has been something I've given it credit for in the past, and I've given wrestling credit for, but there's something about it where it feels a little too much like a show of matches, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I'm like, I'm just watching, oh, this match, then that match, then that match. And like, even, and there's like, there's definitely, the story of NXT is very thin. And I think that it's kind of like what makes it cool also, which is they don't have like a 20-minute promo at the top of the show. But I think they need more promo. Like, I think they need more. I need some more segments. And I want to, like, I don't know why I'm watching every week. Like, for example, this week, I'm on, by the way, I watch it every week. But when I'm watching NXT, I'm watching for the matches, which means I'm always going to watch AEW first.
Right.
Okay. Makes sense. Personally, because I'm always going to want to see, oh, where are they going with that? So like AEW, for example, like Finn, I watched this week to see Finn. So Finn came out and just cut a promo. But then the rest of the show, I'm not exactly sure what I was anticipating to watch. Right.
Right. I understand.
Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I understand why you feel that way. Like, you I can understand.
I didn't mean do you agree or disagree. Here's what I mean. Here's my question to you. Do you, as a fan, see that structure of NXT? You like that more than AEW, which is more classically like Raw, like a more finessed Raw?
Right. I think why I appreciate NXT more because it still has that indie feel vibe, you know, like, so I like
watching.
I like watching NXT a lot because I feel like I'm watching. I'm like sitting front row at an indie show. Like that's what it feels like.
That is 100% what it feels like. It totally feels like the. By the way, I love the best,
highest quality version of it. Like top notch wrestling to the like the best. Like the women's division. Matt Riddle's there. Adam Cole's there. All the big indie wrestlers are there now. Like, if you're an indie wrestler, you're like, and you want looking to like mainstream your stuff and your gimmicks and stuff, that's where you can really shine, like on NXT. Like, it's high quality wrestling. It's more of like a combat sport, which they're billing it as. And AEW is a lot more looser, more fun, more about the story. But like NXT, it feels like you're watching something that always matters. Like, it's big time. Like, the matches always have like some kind of significance to it. But that's what, you know, like, it's everybody has different preferences, you know? So it's cool. It's like, you know, it's and it's but I like understand
Roddy Strong is the North American champion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never see anything he's doing except for a match every like couple of weeks, right?
Well, he's been doing promo stuff. He did the stuff with Velveteen Dream. He was working on those packages and stuff like that. He's doing other stuff.
Well, that Dream stuff was before they went on USA, right? Because their first match was on the first show when he won the title. So I'm talking about NXT in the post USA era. You know?
Well, no, he did the stuff with the picture of his fucking dick on the
Where Strong's was that dick. Though? I just saw that online. That was on the show.
That was on the show. That was on USA.
How did I miss that? This quantity, the quantity of wrestling is destroying me. I mean, how did I even not? By the way, I love that shot.
It's so good. It's tough, man. It really is. Like we were just talking right before this, and it was just like, I'm like, how to rewatch everything again this week because after Friday, everything kind of seems like a blur. We consumed. You know, there was Crown Jewel in between Wednesday and Friday. It's just like, that's insane, dude.
How is it? I'm saying you got it really breaks down to two different kinds of audiences because I think that I tune into AEW to see stuff like Jericho on the mic at a contract signing in a pumpkin jacket.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I thought that segment was fucking fantastic. I honestly was like, wow, I haven't cared about contract signing scenes in so long.
I would say since the Cal Mania contract signing.
Since the Cal, well, that was a disaster. I'm glad, you know.
Do you notice the parallels between the Cal Mania contract signing and the AEW contract signing? I mean, it's ridiculous. It was a beatdown, right?
Are you saying that we have an AEW mole?
That's news.
news.
I mean, it's pretty spot on, right? I mean, like they literally recreated the Cal Mania contract signing.
Well, I'm flattered, frankly. I'm flattered. I think that's fantastic. but you know what I'm saying? So look, I'm not criticizing NXT. I love NXT. I'm excited to watch NXT. It's just that I am more excited to watch AEW. Now, I wonder, you know, it's new and whatnot, and I think we can get into that, but when it, I do think NXT needs to focus on story a little more just because it's weekly and it's on television. It's like, I want to know what I'm psyched for.
They were telling the War Games story this week, you know? So, I mean,
see,
I think that
okay.
was...
okay. You're just... yeah. So, right. I think that is an example of what I find about NXT to be a little too, like, let's say, indie show for whatever.
Right,
it's
right.
like every match is like, I'm like, oh, okay, here they're setting up for the War Games match. Okay, now they're setting... like, okay, and then it's like, oh, daddy's going to war. Cool. But it's like, okay, War Games. Then it's like, what's it? Regal's going to come out and be like... War Games, and like that's it. It's a little more, and not to mention, this is a hot take, hot take. I've said it to you. I'm not a huge fan of the War Games match. Okay.
Wow.
Now, I went to War Games Live. Great time. It was in, you dying?
Yeah, I'm dying.
I was in Staples Center last year. Great time. It was a bunch of us. We all sat together, had a blast. That's when I watched Ricochet do that flip off the top.
Oh my God.
Sick.
That's right.
Absolutely sick. I look, this is undeniable how great those matches are. It's so random, right? Like the rules of it are so kooky and there's no stakes to it, right?
Right.
So I'm like, what I just kind of like, what is it?
Well, that's
so
what I was hoping
compared to
that
Elimination Chamber,
do,
which is one of my favorite things in wrestling. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That is. The Elimination Chamber is awesome.
Love the Elimination Chamber. Here's what's great about the Chamber. So, the Chamber is, first off, the Chamber is an elimination match, and there's an element of luck in there, right?
Right.
Which I'm fine with. You know, I like that there's luck in any kind of game, right?
Yep.
But you know what the stakes of it are. It's like whoever wins gets a title shot, right?
Right.
And it has a cage fight feel where it's like, yo, these people are going to like fight to the death, but the death is just number one contender. Right.
Right.
So like that, but also then they started being like, oh, coming in, there's a clear advantage of coming in first and last. And then they started being like, all right, well, we'll do matches that are like that decide when you come in.
Right.
So I feel like that's great. I think the War Games is missing any kind of like, what's the stakes of it? It's team. So there's no like team title.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a little just goofy.
Well, they have an opportunity to tell an awesome story with Undisputed Era having all the titles for the match being for all the titles. You
see,
know, like
that's what I was gonna say. That right? I was like that's crazy though, right?
That would be insane. And I thought they were gonna do it with the women's too. I thought they were gonna do like a three man stable, like a three woman stable, and it would be like EO and the Kabuki Warriors versus Shayna and Marina and Shapir and Duke. And I thought they were going to do it for like all the titles there too. So whatever team won would win all the women's titles, right? I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But now they just like kind of randomly put everybody together like on sides, and you're just like, I would have rather it be for something, you know? And then now what happens with all this stuff with NXT invading SmackDown? You're like, well, War Games kind of doesn't really have that much of a significance now because you're not only going to war with other brands, but you're going to war with yourself.
Yeah, why, right?
Why?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's something about, you know, it's kind of crazy right now. Like I'm kind of like shitting on, but just for lack of a better term, it's not that harsh. I'm kind of shitting on NXT a little bit, but it almost feels like when you would talk about, I feel like I'm like talking about AEW, like the way, if you say something bad about AEW, I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to upset NXT fans, but I do think there's something about NXT that's it's a little not drawing me in like a TV show. It's drawing me in as someone who's just gonna watch and know it's good, right? Like, what's going on with Matt Riddle? Like, he's arguably like one of the top talents. It's like, what's he up to? What's he chasing? Like, what? He's just having matches. It's a little too house show. NXT is a little too house show for me. That's what I would say.
Well, I honestly think all the title, you know, it's I think what it is for you, Dan, is a little too sporty for you. I think it might be a little too.
Is that it? That might be it.
Yeah, it's a little too sporty for you. It's a little, because you know why? You got all the titles matter, right? Every title has a significance. There's really something about it that makes it special. But I think it's a little too sporty for you. I think it's too combat for you. And then they lost Dream, right?
He was one of my major draws for my style of wrestling, you know?
Yeah. Well, which is one of the things, like, is a clear thing about him now that I see, is that, like, he stands out as a guy that, like, needs to be, like, on the big stage. You know, he needs to be in front of the big crowds now. Like, he needs to be captivating audiences with his, you know, with the Dream stuff. Like, he needs to be doing that now because he's hit the ceiling of his NXT, like, you know, days. And that's fine. That's good. You know?
So I think that it's a little, maybe it is a little too sporty to me, but I believe that it also could use a little more structure. I think the ratings are showing that too. I think they're popping the Full Sail crowd a little much and not popping the viewer as much.
Right. Well, I mean,
I liked when Triple H came out when it started and was like, he's going to be like running this thing. And what is it? And then I love what they did on SmackDown. So it's like, oh, we kind of have this. If the story of SmackDown now is that, like, well, listen, until Survivor Series, every match is a training exhibition match to get us all stronger. I would love that. Yeah. Like, that's good storytelling. But they refuse to do anything like that, you know?
Right.
So I just think, anyway, still a big fan of both shows, but AEW is, the show. I love it. And I'll, by the way, just always pop for the Bucks dollar bills explosion. That thing looks like it's a pipe bomb. I'm like, it looks dangerous. They pop out so fast.
It's really an incredible fucking thing for someone to come out to. Instead of pyro, you get fucking $1 million exploding in the air. Great.
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. We're going to take a break from SmackDown on NXT, and I want to jump over to talking about the crown jewel. Okay.
Wow. We didn't even talk about SmackDown being on NXT being on SmackDown, really. There. We just
No. We're going to come back. To that. That might be our big Patreon discussion as well, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Depends on time. Okay. You know what?
What?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. So do we have any information about this plane situation?
Dude, I am so fucking confused by what's going on. I don't know if it's a work. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if Vince is owed like $300 million. I don't know if the Saudi or behind the wrestler is not leaving. I don't know if Vince turned off fucking people's things. I don't know I don't know what any of it is.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane, dude. What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
Dude,
here's the deal. I know the rumors are, and I believe this to be true for whatever reason. And I know you're the one who told me this first, but from what I read is Vince cut off the feed in Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah,
but people are saying that's not true, but
yeah,
I feel like that is true. No?
Right.
I don't know. It sounds true to me. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know if that's true. I can see Saudi people of the Saudi government owing him a lot of money and him just being like, all right, like making a big deal about
it. Here's the deal. This is why I want to talk about this, because I want this on the main app, and we'll come back to NXT and SmackDown. There's a lot to say, and it will all be said. Relax already, people. Okay, people, many people are complaining NXT and SmackDown didn't go with the AEW and NXT conversation. Okay, people. No, but look, here's the deal. I don't want to get into the politics of Saudi Arabia, okay? I'll say that not the people of Saudi Arabia, but the government of Saudi Arabia who funds the crown jewel, okay? They are cartoon villains, Okay.
Yes.
These are not people. These are not good people. Okay. Now, we've been through this a million times. I understand you own a publicly traded company. Your duties to your stockholder, which, by the way, is a new thing that's under discussion right now. I was talking to Arlen about this. He's like, if you're a publicly traded company, your duties to your stockholder. Well, the movement on Wall Street now is kind of moving slightly away from that, which is that that's starting to be known as a little too reckless. You know what I mean?
Right.
It might be to your employees and their welfare, you know what I'm saying? And anyway, but whatever, I don't need to get into all that. Let's just talk about this from a Marx perspective.
Okay.
I fucking hope the Saudis ripped off Vince McMahon. First off, he deserves it. Okay. he deserves it for when you take money from immoral people, you get treated immorally, right?
Yeah.
So whatever. Okay. But my main thing is that I hate these Saudi pay-per-views because they fuck with the flow of WWE's product.
Dude,
from a Marx perspective, we now have one of your guys. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, one of my guys. Getting his rub, his proper due that he's really deserves so much, okay?
Yeah.
Forget about if the Fiend character is too soon for him to win, blah, blah, blah. Let's just talk about the man, Wyndham Rotunda, okay? Let's talk about the man who's doing incredible work. One of the most creative talents in WWE history. One of the best actor in WWE history. Tell me a better actor. I said it to Dipperstein and he no-sold me.
I know.
No-sold the shit out of me on that. Tell me a better WWE actor. I'm not talking about wrestling actor because The Rock maybe is a better wrestling actor because popping a crowd like that, and like Austin. I'm talking about like on-screen just talent like that.
Yep. No, you're right. I'm you're selling me on this more and more. And now you're even more passionate about it now that he's champion because he's one of your guys.
Yeah.
You love to see when your guys get their due, right?
But he gets his rub. he gets his rub on at 10:30 a.m. on a Thursday. You know what I'm saying?
It's fucking insane.
In the
dude.
Middle, right? And then it gets spoiled for everybody, and you know, it's just like that. I want to see that at WrestleMania. You know,
bro, so fucking nuts, man. Why didn't we see it at Hell in a Cell? Why couldn't we see it at Hell in a Cell? You know,
I will say this. So, okay, well, that's the man. I have so much to say. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I have so much to say that I just stop. Just take a breath.
Yo, namaste.
I gotta hit the tank. All right. Anyway, so all right. No. Okay. So okay. Cool. So it's just like my flow of wrestling is I love the WWE flow of the quarterly major pay-per-view, right? You got the Rumble, you got the WrestleMania, you got Survivor Series, and did I say four? What did I miss? SummerSlam, right?
Yes.
And so it's just like if just like the crown jewel, which I'm watching it the whole time. I sit there, I have it on. It's just like kind of in the background. I go, okay, house show. Right. And then I get to this match. I loved this match. Okay. And let's start with the match first. Okay. I think that the Hell in the Cell lead to this is actually really good.
Right.
Okay. I know what you're saying. It's like, why didn't it happen first? But we did establish at the Hell in a Cell that like he is unstoppable. Okay. And the match was just stopped. Right. Maybe it shouldn't have been, but it was like, and it's like, you can hurt him, but it just doesn't stay.
I'm following you on this. I'm following you. That's fine.
And like, that's what's cool about Bray Wyatt is actually he is not like he's not the beast. Right. But what he is he's unnaturally resilient.
Yes.
So it's like he comes at you. It's like it reminds me of like in like Resident Evil. You shoot like you had these like rocket launchers. There'd be that nemesis, the star, the guy like stars. He was a big zombie guy, whatever in the video game. This will pop. This is gonna pop somebody. But like
someone just marked that.
You could like shoot a grenade at him. He would go down. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
he's not dead, and he's coming back. And like, you could go into the next room, walk back in. He's all the second you walk in, you're being choked already. You know what I'm saying?
And you also don't know what's effective against him. Like, he'll no sell a stomp, but you'll hit him in the face with a super kick, and he'll drop into a knee. And you're like, so. And then the next time, the super kick won't do anything, but the stomp will be effective. You know, so like,
right.
You never know. Like, the psychology of the Fiend wrestling is, you don't know what the fuck to do.
Well, and I'll take it to the next level of the Fiend. And by the way, we're already getting to the zone where this is going to be a long Fiend conference. The lore of the Fiend. I think Fiend is actually beatable, right? You can keep him down for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But you better leave the ring with that title soon.
Because
he will get back up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and he'll be 100%. You know,
It's very Michael Myers.
It's 100% Michael Myers. But then if he gets his hand on you, you're fucked, which is what happened with Seth.
Yep.
So it's just like, once you're worn down, he's gonna wear you down. It makes it cool because then you can actually wrestle the Fiend. So it's actually really fucking smart.
Right.
He can have wrestling matches. So I dig that. So then it's like the Hell in the Cell. Seth was going really far, and he's like, I can't stop this guy. And then they stopped the match. No one, he didn't lose the match. And then Fiend beat him up. And then this match, which they couldn't stop. You cannot beat the Fiend if you can't stop the match. That is his match.
Explosions and fires, man. It does nothing. It's going to stop it.
Right. So you have to wrestle. The Fiend really gets in your head. And then, okay. So I thought that was really cool. But I think that match, I just want to say, Crown Jewel, which the production value of this thing was so high. I mean, it's just crazy. It looks better than WrestleMania.
It might actually be better looking than WrestleMania. I mean, the way right. the pyro is and everything, it's like on another level, dude. It's fucking nuts, yeah. Man. They lit up that whole entire stadium red. That's a big ass fucking stadium.
That's what
dude.
I'm saying. The whole that whole ramp was red. He was red the whole and I love the red. He's red the whole time. You know, that level of production. I was like, yo, if you're like a theater snob, you have to pop for this. You have to pop for this.
Yeah, you have to. You really do.
And then Seth threw. Did you see that comment where he threw him into the? It's like it's very Foley, and Bray is like very Foley adjacent at this point, right? Like, he threw him in, and then into like what do you even call that area? The stereo pit?
I don't know what the fuck that area is called. That's called the unnecessary stacking of the cases pit. Yeah.
And he falls down. They do the thing where they like set off some explosions. It's always cool.
Oh my god!
But the thing that I pop for is like, yeah, we see that. Is that like then Seth's like, oh, I gotta go find his body because this match can't stop. And then he rises up. And that camera shot was perfect. I love it. And I think about it like they're really thinking about making him look horror cinematic. You know?
Yeah, it's wild, dude.
And then he won the title, which shocked me. It shocked me.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, and you saw, he gives him that Sister Abigail after he fell there. And I was like, he's winning right now. Like, this is the win spot. And that's always a great thing when they book it where you're like, this is going to be a 3-pin. There's no way Seth's getting out of this. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Bray Wyatt is the universal champion. And then the icing on the cake is that goes black. And then he's on the top of the ramp. And they did the whole, whatever you call that, the screeching
noise. Sirens, that thingy.
And he's just holding up the title. And I was like, this is why I watch wrestling. That's like, that is why that is the shit I fucking love.
It really was awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, you can have a wrestler like Seth or like a Dolph Ziggler who their thing is they're just like great wrestlers and they can exist on the same plane as this guy.
Well, you know, does it lose its whatever like impact for being on happening at 4:30 on a Thursday? Like it's tough to just like not think that, you know.
Well, that's like the next part of the conversation, which is like, right, does it I mean, you're saying, you said yes when we talked. I don't disagree. Yeah. I just been I'm watching just like, wrestling on such a crazy schedule where it doesn't really matter for me. And like, we are in the on-demand verse right now, you know?
Right.
And it does make these Saudi shows matter, where they're not house shows. They're just legitimate pay-per-views.
That's the first time it's ever happened. That's the first time like a title really has ever changed there, you know, right? I think.
Well,
I
mean, no, Bray and Bray and what? And Matt Hardy won the tag titles at like Crown Jewel 1 or something.
Oh my god.
And they have moved like US titles, but like not, they have never moved a championship title. A heavyweight title.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy to think about. Like that's fucking wild that they did that. You know, like that's a really crazy decision to make, you know? It's like, I don't know. I was never really got into the show. Everything felt like really fucking cheesy.
I didn't enjoy myself for like even like 1 second on the show. I liked it because I was actually working and I kind of had it on. You know, I
just had it on background,
and so I was like, oh, this is great. This is great because I could just like feel like the warmth of my product. You know, and like some women put those things under their eyes, like, and men for puffiness or whatever. Like, I do this. You know what I mean?
That's such a good call. It's like we're putting on a mask, and we're just sitting there, you know, on the TV watching our Real Housewives shows. Instead of putting the mask on, we just like divulge in 3 hours of wrestling.
Right.
That's being filmed in Saudi Arabia.
I know. That's the thing. It's like when you think about like, you know, wrestling. What? Yeah.
I'm going to start doing masks while I fucking watch wrestling. And you like, dude, give me a little facial care, you know, like get that skincare on point while I watch. Maybe I'll work out a little bit while we've got wrestling on in the background. Maybe do some push-ups, you know, get a little stretching.
Do like a full training montage.
That'd be sick.
Dude, I'm going to start doing some sweats with the iPad. Take a jog.
Can't do it on Wednesdays, but Wednesdays got to be serious. But on Fridays and Mondays, I might start really, you know, doing a little self-care.
You should. So, yeah, I mean, Crown Jewel, like, nothing. I mean, the Kane-Brock match was a jabron status.
Wild. And then we got to rewatch it on Raw. I mean, on SmackDown.
Yeah. I know, they just showed it again. I mean, Tyson Fury, I don't even know who that is. Honestly, Tyson Fury, you like, what do you know about Tyson Fury before he came in here?
He's the Gypsy King.
And you're into his boxing? You watch him box?
He had a really awesome fight against, I think it's Deontay Wilder. And that fight was sick where he got knocked down in like the last round. And then at the last second, he pretty much fiended it. Like he came back to life out of nowhere. And then they went to a no contest. But it was like a really fun. He pulled a feat.
Wait, so yeah, okay, whatever. So, I don't want to talk about Tyson Fury. But by the way, you were shocked that he got knocked out, that he knocked out Braun. Like, obviously that was going to happen. These guys won't come and like lose. They got to like, their brands are too strong. They got to come here and win. It's like same thing. Floyd Mayweather knocked out the Big Show. this is how that's going to go. But yeah, anything else happening at Crown Jewel? I'm not even remembering.
I don't care.
I mean, Cain Velasquez. I hate to be this guy, but to be this guy. Well, that's the worst physique in all of wrestling. Is that body shaming? Is that bad? I guess whatever. I guess I'm being an asshole, but I don't think he's working out though.
He sure does know how to use like baby oil though, huh? I mean, that guy was slicker than Snot on the doorknob.
It's also like, forget the physique actually, because like Bray is not like in good shape or whatever, right? But like he's got that was like the wrong gear, like, and he was so lubed up.
Oh, dude, he was so fucking lubed. He was so shiny. It was insane, dude.
Yeah, he was so lubed.
I've never seen anything like that.
So yeah, Brock on SmackDown quit
Okay, yeah.
Brock quits or he's going to Raw. Do you think that move is because he doesn't want to be on the show every week anymore? Like, I feel like if he's on Fox, then he has to show up, right?
Yeah, I don't know what that move is. The only thing I can think of is that they wanted to make Fiend champion, but then why draft the Fiend to SmackDown? Well, I guess because Fox wanted the Fiend, so I don't know. It gets all fucking really complicated. So I guess this works. I'm surprised that like Fox would allow Brock going back to Raw, to the USA. I figure that's the guy that they really want, you know, but I guess they want the Fiend more, maybe? I don't know. I don't know how this all works.
And then what's up? What do you think they do? First off, first thing I thought of the second the Fiend wins is like he has to change the title, right?
A
talent like that can't hold just a regular like he needs to have.
I mean,
like,
by the way,
what are the odds if he puts out a title? There's no chance I'm not buying it. I mean,
yeah, it's shit. Yeah. You're definitely
I'm gonna have to start a Kickstarter. Guys, it's gonna be the. I want you to help me out with this project of just buying the stupidest thing.
Buying this title. Unreal.
Well, what are you, because, all right, like there's two things that went to my mind immediately, which is the red title goes to SmackDown. Does it stay red? Not to mention it's going to go to The Fiend where red looks really cool on him.
Like yes, if it's very.
They can't make it blue. It'll look so dumb with him. So he either has to go custom route. And then make it blue after that. But then can you change the universal title from red to blue?
I don't know, dude. I don't want to see a blue title anywhere near Fiend. And I don't think they have to make it blue. If they're going to change it like completely. You know, like don't make it a certain color. Make it something like fucking badass and cool. You know, like.
Right.
And don't make it about it being a color thing. Please, God, that's the last thing we need, you know?
I agree. I mean, I think that the titles from both shows don't need to look the same.
They definitely don't.
I think it actually is a good move if they don't look the same because it makes them look like just toys. Even though I am on record as saying I like the home plate design of the current title.
No, yeah, the design's fine. I think it would just, if they're going to change it, just don't make it a specific color, like kind of thing. Make it just fun. New, fresh.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk. I want to talk about Seth Rollins quick.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. And then, yeah. Okay. So, because we didn't talk about this last week and we're going to keep delaying it. Seth Rollins, right. and we can parlay this into the one of my guys conversation.
Okay,
Seth Rollins is officially one of my guys, okay?
Okay.
Now, does he make it hard to be one of my guys? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Does he test the boundaries of being the one of my guy domes with his, like, angry frat boy behavior sometimes? You know what I mean? Or I don't know how to describe it. It's just kind of like his, his company man stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. But I will say it is better than Roman Reigns style company man behavior, which is just no personality. You know what I mean? I'll take personality over no personality any day.
For sure.
Okay. So I think that it's kind of cool with Seth is that I've said it before. He looks good, jacked up, great wrestler, feels like the guy, has completely earned that spot, has not been shoehorned into it. And I know his deal, like as a guy. It's not my favorite kind of behavior, you know? And he does things where sometimes I just hit my head like, what are you thinking? But I like that I know his deal.
Okay.
You know? Do you think I think he lost his title because they are backed in a corner with Survivor Series because we cannot see Brock Seth again. And I don't.
Yeah.
Think they want to put? I'm crediting you with this, Cole. I don't think their goal. I don't think their trip. I don't think triple threat is the route.
No, yeah, definitely not.
I don't think that's going to be the move. So I think with Seth is that they had to make him drop it. But here's my question to you: if you had to speculate, do you think he dropped it because they were backed in the corner for Survivor Series booking, or? Do you think that his attitude kind of backfired and his whole, like, the Seth Rollins is not cool. Seth Rollins is not cool was like, all right, well, guys, And then Vince kind of lost faith. He's like, he's just not the guy right now.
Wow. That's never didn't think about that that way. You're blowing my mind right now. I honestly think there's a couple. I think the biggest reason why is they put the titles on the two biggest stars that they have. They put it on Brock,
right,
and they put it on The Fiend. Hands down, two biggest stars, biggest draws right now. Fiend's moving the most merch, making a ton of money for the company. He's the biggest thing in the company right now.
He's selling a shit ton of merch, right?
It must be crazy. They got those crate boxes now that they're selling for him. They just did the Wyatt Gym one. Those things sell out instantly.
Like, really?
You can't even get them. Yeah, instantly.
Really?
He's moving the stuff. So the right move. I will say this. I think putting it on The Fiend may have, and it's an over drastic way to say it, but may have saved Seth Rollins' career. Like I think if Seth would have kept going down this road, it would have been felt like Roman Reigns. It would have been felt like we were getting forced with Seth Rollins. I think this him losing this title is very important.
Right.
I think they need to kind of like bring him back to normal. You know, like I think they got to have him getting in some meaningful stories that don't revolve a title. Whether it's he turns heel or not,
right.
But there's some interesting opportunities with NXT coming up where you can put him in a match versus Adam Cole, you know, and like
right.
Where he loses to Adam Cole, but it's for the NXT title, but he loses to Adam Cole, but like he's back to be like you got to get him back to being cool again. Like that's Seth Rollins' thing, you know.
Well,
like
I think one way you go if I'm dealing with Seth is I'd probably do a Seth AJ US title situation.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we never really saw that program properly, and AJ's just doing nothing, right?
I mean, yeah, we don't know. Yeah, I guess
he's AJ doing Seth is the match I would try to get at WrestleMania.
Sure.
But I think we're going to see Seth Roman.
Right. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. My question is, okay. Do you think they took the title off him? Gun to the head if you're wrong. Because, A, they're backed in the corner with Survivor Series, which they've done before. Keep in mind, they took the title off Jinder Mahal when it was going to be Brock Jinder. They were like, we'd rather people see Brock AJ. And then they took the title off AJ last year so we wouldn't get that again and put it on Daniel Bryan. So then we got Brock Daniel Bryan. Do you think we don't want to see, no one wants to see Seth Brock again, or they, and it could be a combo, but the, or, yeah, I'll give my answer after. I just thought about what I think it is.
I honestly really don't know what it is, because then there's also the thing with,
just choose one. This is a podcast, asking for you. They want to know what you think, man.
All right, gun to my head,
yeah.
I want to say they took it off of him because he's not the guy right now.
I don't think that was like, one of the options.
Yeah, it was. You were
no,
saying
that was
like
B. He, yeah, that's Vince, B. I would say my, I choose. I think it's just purely booking. I think that they think like I think that they're fine with wrestlers getting hate. They think it's just heat, and then Seth getting booed and stuff is kind of like him getting pushed into the Cena zone. You know what I mean? Which is they're like, oh, well, that means he's kind of just getting to a point where he's important, which is valid. Who's watched Cena's whole career, basically, I can't even believe how much respect I have for this guy now. You know what I mean? Compared to, there were times where I was like, with this fucking guy. Enough. Enough. I feel like to be a top guy, you sometimes have to go through the it's enough territory if you don't have Austin or Rock level charisma, which no one does.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? You have to, All right. But I mean, Seth, he's just still one of my guys, but he is a natural heel.
Well,
it's
let
just,
me,
he
let me
is.
Ask you this. What's next for Seth Rollins? He's on Raw, right? His fiance is the Raw Women's Champion still, and he now has nothing, right? He just lost to The Fiend in Saudi Arabia. And now we got Survivor Series coming up. So what's he do? Is he going to leave one of the teams? Is his story
with the Fiend done? Like, is that something it's like that they keep in the back pocket that like Seth is always going to be trying to earn a shot at that? And then we get kind of like, you know, Rumble or Mania rematch. And it's like Seth finally like digging deep to handle the Fiend.
I mean, I guess.
Okay.
Right?
Well, here's the more important question than Seth. We'll move on from Seth. Can Brock Lesnar and should Brock Lesnar beat The Fiend? Because that's 100% a confirmed match for Survivor Series. We're going to see Brock Lesnar versus The Fiend, right?
Save it for the pod, right? Yeah. So I said, like, if The Fiend thing is no selling, like, I think the best way to do it, and you want to get The Fiend fucking over, like, big time, is you have him no selling F5 and then squash Brock immediately, like with the fucking mandible claw. And it would be so shocking. People will lose their fucking minds. It should be for both the titles too. Like, and let Fiend fucking have both the titles and go back and forth to both shows. Like, both companies want, both networks want them. You know they do. And they fucking want to see, like, I think it would be, and the crowd would fucking lose their minds, right, dude. Lose their minds.
Yo,
I get it,
F5, an F5 where the Fiend pops right back up is going to be right so cool. Look, people hate the no sell. I think the Fiend has earned no sell territory, and plus Brock can eventually beat the Fiend by just F5ing him onto some chairs, right? Like, or whatever. Like, hit him later with, like, he F5s him into a fucking oblivion or whatever, you know, through the ring. He F5s him so hard. But the reason I think Brock needs to lose to the Fiend is, like, Brock really needs a true obstacle, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Fiend feels like the perfect guy because he wouldn't beat Brock based on strength. It's not like, oh, he's a better wrestler or strength. It's just that he can get in his head and fuck with Brock. Like, Brock hasn't felt any kind of self-doubt in so long. You know what I mean? He hasn't been scared. When's the last time Brock Lesnar felt scared? Maybe Brock Lesnar feels scared. That would be really cool.
I mean, that'd be awesome. Like, really fucking awesome. It would be cool if the Fiend went after Heyman, like, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like, fucking really fuck with his, like, life and shit.
And, like, he comes into his like, locker room. Brock comes in and, like, Heyman's, like, hanging from a cross or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, whatever the fuck. And, like,
some real spooky shit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right? Or, like, Brock has to, like, go on the Firefly Funhouse or whatever. Like, and he's like, what the fuck is this? But it kind of just, like, messes with him because he's like, oh, man, I know I can fight and beat anybody, but this guy is like getting in my head. That's like,
well, that's what it did to Seth, you know, right? Like, Seth, that's how Seth kind of felt. Seth just really came off beating Brock Lesnar. Feels like he should be on top of the world. And now his whole world is like turned upside down. He's fucked up from it. And now, like, you know, he loses the title. We haven't heard from Seth like at all. Like,
yeah,
since he's lost that title, we don't even know what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. You could kind of play it with both of them. It just makes the Fiend look stronger, and they got to get behind their champ. So,
for sure.
Here's the other first thing I thought of with Fiend, by the way, is what does he do with the title? Okay, like, so he carries a lamp when he enters, right?
Yes.
So he's got a lantern and a title, have no free hand. The belt can't fit around his waist. He's too heavy, right?
I don't know.
That belt is not long enough. He's way too fat, right?
You think so? I mean, Brock rocks it, but I mean, I guess Brock's waist isn't as big.
Brock's waist is pretty small, right? I mean, they can make it bigger so it fits him, but he's a bigger guy. I mean, by the way, not fat shaming Bray Wyatt at all. Love the guy. Yeah. I love the guy's build. He looks fucking amazing. Best tattoos in the game.
Best tattoos in the game.
Yeah, but you think he could wear it? I mean, and also, do guys that big ever wear it? I feel like that's not even the move, just for the look. It's got to hit the shoulder. But him holding wearing it on his shoulder, he's got the hood on. You know what I'm saying?
He might just hold it in his hand kind of thing. You know?
I feel like he needs a disciple, someone who holds it for him.
Someone who holds it for him, yeah, like a valet maybe or something.
Like a mutant or something.
Like a really, something really creepy that like crawls on the floor or some shit. Like, some kind of fucked up shit. I'm here for that.
Oh my god. Or, oh my god, I think I solved it. Oh my god.
What?
Oh my god. Oh, I love wrestling. Okay, what if he turns the title into a lantern?
Into a lantern, interesting.
So what if he turns the title where, like, when you hold it, they take the center part and the W is like a jack-o'-lantern for a W, you know? So you put a light in the, you got to make the title like a little bigger, you know what I mean? You got to make it a little thicker.
Well, if he holds it like in his hand, like up in the air, like, yeah, oh, this is interesting. I don't know, man.
And he holds it, and it's and it has a light in it now. They could do it. They with like lights, they're so thin now, all those LED lights, battery operated. They can do it where it doesn't make it that much thicker.
Remember how long it took light up Naomi's fucking title, dude? They're like, light up the fucking title.
I know.
Light up her fucking title.
It was criminal, as a matter of fact. That was completely criminal.
So fucking jabroni.
Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to talk about NXT Invasion off SmackDown. But I feel like we'll talk about one thing on it. Okay.
Okay.
And then let's pop over to the Patreon.
I'm down for that.
Okay, so I'm gonna bring up one topic on it, and then let's talk about the rest of it because I feel like we're gonna go for a while, and the patrons deserve the inside dirt. And you know the thing, I'm gonna do my top five on the Patreon episode this week.
Yeah, I'll do my guys list too.
Oh, you do your guys list over there? So we'll talk a little bit about that, and then we'll move on over there. So you get an extended for supporting this podcast, the independent podcast, and a lot of you are. Really appreciate it. A couple bucks a month, you get a new episode, every bonus episode, every single week. I appreciate it. Yes. But if you can't swing it, I completely understand. You get this episode for free. It's fucking dope.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, so I'm going to allow you to – no, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I want to talk to you about. I'm choosing the moment. I'm choosing it.
Okay.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh.
Okay. That's where I want to start.
Okay.
Tommaso Ciampa. How did you like his promo?
Did I like his promo? I liked the promo because I liked the spot for him. I think what I really wanted was, I wish Velveteen Dream was healthy because a Velveteen Dream and Miz promo segment would have been great. So I think I had it in my mind already, but I feel like I didn't connect with the Ciampa promo as much, but I like where he went with it. I also love how Miz countered back and saying, like, you know, everybody says that I've been here for 15 years.
Right.
And, you know, like, so I think what it ended up doing was making the match like more important. The match took a little bit to get into, but once it got going, I thought it was sick. So it's just amazing that we're watching a Miz versus Tommaso Ciampa match. And I was just like so blown away by all of it that I loved it. It made it that much better, you know? So was I blown away by it? No. Okay. But Tommaso Ciampa, one of my guys. So
wow, one of your guys. You're putting on the list as one of your guys.
Yeah. He's fucking awesome.
I've never officially written down the one of my guys list. Tommaso Ciampa, I don't think is on my list of one of my guys, but I feel like the Gargano Ciampa feud is one of my guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure. It totally makes sense for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, because the thing with Ciampa is like, I got real excited. I was like, yo, that's so cool. It's Ciampa. He's here. And I'm like, this is a big moment for him. It's finally, he's coming back from all this. And then he gets on the microphone. And by the way, I said it to Olini. I was like, did you like it? Like, I'm going to say something bad. I'm going to word that differently next time. Actually did like it. I did like it. I did think he did a great job. I just think there's a thing with Tommaso Ciampa, who he's a little aimless as a character for me. Like, for when he's going for the NXT title and he has the Goldie angle, which does work. But outside of it, he gets on the mic and he goes like, I'm the best wrestler in the world or whatever.
Yeah.
Is he
the best sports entertainer, the greatest sports entertainer of all time?
Right. So, and it's like, I just was a little like, oh, that's not how I, that's just not what the words I expect him to say. You know?
No, definitely.
I feel like he's
that,
more demonic, like not demonic, but just a darker guy than like, I'm really good at the sport. You know?
That wasn't the spot for him. I don't think that was the spot for him. You know, I think
like he should have been yo, Miz, I find you really fucking corny. You know, like,
that's what I think he was trying to deliver, Dan. Right. Like, I think that's what they were going for. It didn't work. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think that was the spot for him. That spot should have been for somebody else. Like, I don't know who could have been. I think, like I said, I think if Velveteen Dream's healthy, that's Velveteen's dream spot, like 100%.
Right, you know, right,
like,
right.
You got the Dream versus the Miz. The Dream is really the main attraction. He's the Hollywood Dream, you know, like, he's the guy that should be doing Dream TV, you know, like, he's not Miz TV. Like, that's that spot. That's where you're like, you know, that. So Ciampa did a well enough job. It was a cool spot for him to be in, but like, I don't think that was the spot for him. Like, Ciampa should have been more coming out with the crutch and being the shit out of somebody, you know, kind of spot than cutting a promo with one of the best promo guys in the fucking business, you know?
Right. Totally. I also felt like we're talking about, I felt like his gear is a little sloppy to be on SmackDown. It's a funny thing when you get on SmackDown, you get on like the big TV, the big shows. It shines a light on the polish of you as a pro wrestler.
It does. Correct.
And especially when you're in the ring with The Miz, who is so good.
He's so
talented out there. He's so fluid. He's so comfortable. He's got the look. He's just got it down. You know, Ciampa like was wrestling. He's wearing those pants. They were like falling down, and he had like boxers on. You know,
yeah.
It just was like,
you know, I think it kind of like it goes. I'll defend it only in this way: is that like it was an invasion, right? So I think like. You know, they were prepared to fight, but they weren't, you know, they were prepared to fight as in like start a war kind of thing.
Right,
so
right.
Oh, you want to go fucking now? All right. I don't got my fucking normal ring gear on, but I'm ready to fuck. Cause he wears the trunks.
Oh, yeah. Cause he normally, I'm just blanking cause he's been gone for so long. He has those awesome trunks where he looks like they're kind of like Thanos-y or whatever.
Yeah. Yep, and a jacket. He has a sick.
And he has the duster, that great duster. Also, he didn't have the crutch on him, which bummed me out.
I know. So that's the thing. So I kind of like into the way he like went about it. You know, like he was just like military style, ready for war. Like, all right, took my shirt off. Let's fucking go. I'll do this. And he wins. You know, like it just goes to show like what NXT is. You know, it's like these guys that are always ready to fucking go to war like at any time, you know? And that's cool. Right. That's fucking really cool. If that's their brand and that's how they are, I'm here for it. Like, for sure.
Totally. I just felt like that was the only, was that the only NXT promo on the show? Like, actual on the mic, in ring? Or, I know there were some segments, but promo. Like, I don't think any other wrestler did it. Oh, maybe like Rhea Ripley, when she walked down, she had the mic for a second. But that was the only like proper promo. And I just felt like, I was like, man, I just in my head was like, who wrote that? Was that just like the SmackDown writers? Did Triple H have anything to do with that? I was like, that just needed to be better, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That being said, you know, not one of my guys, but a great, great talent. I love how jacked he is. It's great.
Fucking so jacked.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just debating. Okay. I was like, oh man, I have so many other things on my list here.
I know.
I'm like, okay, all right.
Talk about them. You'll know when we gotta head over.
No.
Something that you got.
No, it's just I had an AEW thing. And I was like, "Fuck, I was like, "Oh man, I have so many other things." All right, here's what a crazy week in pro wrestling. All right,
it's insane.
Oh yeah. So I also thought the Ciampa Miz match. Yeah, you could tell those guys had never wrestled together.
Never
before.
Yeah.
The only reason I bring that up is not to be critical, because I bet like if they did a bunch of house shows together, they'd get a fluid match. You know what I mean? They'd do a better match. But it is interesting when you made that point that, like, you could tell when the guys have been doing the house show circuit for a while.
Oh, for sure, dude.
And I kind of like I kind of like seeing a match like that. Like, I love when I feel like I'm like, oh, I'm seeing these guys like go at it for the first time. I think that's a cool nuanced thing.
Yeah. It feels very green almost, you know, like it's like, this is never going to happen. I can't believe this is happening on TV kind of thing, you know?
All right, let's do one more thing from SmackDown and then we'll head over to the Patreon. Okay. I want to talk about, the women's segment. I was about Rhea Ripley, that reverse cloverleaf.
Oh my god! Submission? It's insane, right?
What a fucking move!
Yo, dude, it's sick. She's so fucking jacked and huge. It's insane.
How big is she? She's like, she really is like Brienne of Tar, right? Like that's or whatever that's like exactly who she is.
And that's who she is. That's the role she's playing, like in this war too.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. And also, I was like, Bianca Belair fucking threw Carmella.
Yo, dude. Oh, my God. Bianca Belair. You know what I love about Bianca Belair? She takes her fucking earrings off. And then, you know, like, oh, shit. It's going down. She's about to fucking kill. Dude, she's Bianca Belair.
She's on point. One of my guys. Let's be real. The whole NXT roster is one of your guys.
My guys are very NXT roster heavy. Is for sure. For sure. He's very, very heavy on the NXT. Because they showed who they are as a brand. You know, like, they're able to do the invasion, all different wrestlers, but like show at the same time what NXT is like. If I'm someone who's never watched NXT before and I see this happen on SmackDown, you're like, yo, NXT is pretty fucking badass. I probably should be watching NXT, huh? Like, that's what they were trying to deliver. Like, that was the point of all this, you know? Like, the point wasn't to, like, more so Survivor Series. It's Vince is losing in the ratings to AEW on Wednesdays and he's got to figure out a way to fucking do it. So what are we going to do? We're going to add NXT to Survivor Series, and we're going to have him invade fucking SmackDown. That'll get more, you know, eyes on him, and he's going to try and win those ratings this Wednesday. You know what's going to happen. That's the only reason why I have faith that Raw is going to be awesome, you know?
Right. Well, the thing, it's just like, it's kind of amazing because my brain kept going to this when I'm watching SmackDown. So, you know, I'm like, man, this is such a good time and it's all these new talents and you're like, man, if the plane landed, I would have seen probably like Zack Ryder and Hawkins.
Yeah.
Or like some, I'd see like stuff where like just a lot of time filler stuff or.
So cool.
And you're like, why? Yeah. You're like, well, you gotta just bring in you have access to all these fresh, hot talents. On NXT, it's like they really need to figure out how to make this all one thing.
Yep.
Because the fluidity of talent, it's like every week it just feels like I'm watching, Miz TV, and then like it's all feels, and there's such a filler element to it. And by the way, a lot of it is filler, but but you see this week where you're like, wow, that felt like really special, and I felt like really excited to be watching. Why can't they do this every week? I know it's difficult. I know. And look, we can go in circles about it, about booking and the whole thing. But it ultimately all comes down to my same note, which is these shows, the Raw and SmackDown are so aimless right now. They're so aimless that you can't. The only thing we'll get excited for is just something new. But like when you watch any other TV show, when I'm watching Game of Thrones, right? I always go to Game of Thrones, but I don't know why. But because it's like the biggest show, right?
It's like a great show, yeah.
I don't go like, oh, every episode, I don't go like, oh, no, it's the Khaleesi again.
Yeah.
You're like, no, what is she going to do? And there's only a few characters that I feel that way about. And it just comes from the fact that They don't have any proper structure for the mid card, undercard, the Intercontinental title. I barely remember it's on Shinsuke.
My take was that Lana's love and affection has become more of a mid card title, like, important than the IC title and the US title. You know, two guys that are fighting for the love and affection of a woman is more important than the Intercontinental title and the US title, like 100%. You know why? Because it's a story, and it's like, you know, there's something to it. They're making it important. Like, there's a reason why this is all happening. Like, you don't get that on Raw and SmackDown, and especially when leading up to Crown Jewel, it's really bad, dude. Like, you don't feel like you're into it at all because it feels like nothing matters. And, like, you know, and I was really down on the product for like 3-4 weeks because I was like, man, if I'm going to tune in every week, you got to give me something like to make worth watching. Like, the matches are good, but like, it's just aimless and stupid. And especially Team Hogan, Team Flair were promoting every week. It's like, that match doesn't matter for anything. It's just a way to fucking please a bunch of fucking Saudi princes and collect some money. You know, like, we know what that is. And if I'm going to be tuning in on Wednesday for NXT and seeing awesome matches that mean something and AEW, where you feel like it's fun and it's different and you feel like the storytelling is, you can trust and you believe that where they're going with things, then, you know, like, now all of a sudden one fucking show, NXT, comes up and you're like, why is it this hard? Look how easy it was. It's fucking awesome. So sick.
Well, yeah. And it just felt like something new, but, you know, look, I don't fault WWE for, again, like, I don't, the Team Hogan Flair thing, I get why they do that stuff. It's like, you know, I know why they do it. They did that for the big Saudi show, and I get it. And I wouldn't even fault them for it. The thing we fault them for is what we talked about at the beginning of the episode, which is that continuity. That, like, I'm sorry, even as good as NXT is, we know that if they start blending it with main roster, then we're going to be subject to main roster sloppiness. And I really don't believe. I believe AEW. They're going to make mistakes, but I do think they're going to think things through harder than Vince does, because they are hungry and they know that if they put more care into it, they know what they don't like about WWE as wrestlers, and they know what the fans don't like about it, and they know that they have less resources and they have to capitalize.
Oh, I can make a good rebuttal on that AEW thing. Where I just think they've completely botched not putting the title on Nyla was, I think, a big mistake, and not putting the titles on the Lucha Bros, another big mistake. Like, okay, if you're not, like, I don't give a, like, SCU, cool, like, you know what, Scorpio Sky is really awesome, they wrestled a good match, but the Lucha Bros, by the way, my guys, are the fucking best tag team in the world. Like, listen, you put fucking Private Party over Young Bucks in the first round, all right, cool, but, like, come on, the Lucha Bros should be the fucking tag team champs, man. I mean, like, now, let's go. I mean, so I think they're missing on those opportunities. Okay. I get it.
It's, I think that's fair, but I also trust that they have a cool vision for this SCU Lucha Bros feud. Right, those guys, they do put on great matches. Scorpio Sky is jabron, but great wrestler, you know.
Yeah.
And I do think they're like, oh well, right now you're gonna be like, I want the Lucha Bros to win that title. So, you know, there is part of that booking that is smart. You know what I mean? Like,
and I get it.
And they did the obvious move with Jericho with it, you know. So I think they're like, oh well, let's be smart with it. Now they put it on the team that, like, you hate the most, but they still put on these guys can still work. You know what I mean? There's no one in AEW who can't fucking put on a sick match. So I think that there is a smart, like, the fact that you're angry about it is kind of okay right now, because because right now I'm like, I have a feeling that they know they have a proper plan.
Right. That's all upset. I'm also taking a look at their card for, like, Full Gear, and it's more like, you know, more fun than, you know, like, the, not more fun. So, like, you got Cody versus Jericho, like, obviously huge, but then the other match is Young Bucks versus LAX. It's really the, you know, you got Pac versus Hangman. So it's like, you don't have the tag team titles on that card yet. I get it. They just had the thing, but it would have been cool to have that, like, on the pay-per-view, but like they did it on TV. So like I'm just like waiting for things to matter a little bit more with like I'm ready for the big guys, all the big guys to hold the titles. You know, I feel like not putting it on somebody huge like is kind of losing its steam for me. Like I'm ready to see some big fucking names over there really start to shine, you know, like, but I'm still here for it. I think it's great.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. But yeah. Like they all, while we're talking about AEW, but also they kind of nailed, I felt like how'd you feel about that limo segment?
So I was kind of like, not like great with it. I think it was, understand why I did it. I thought it was cool. I thought it wasn't delivered really that well. You know, they're just kind of casual, get it, talking the stories. And like, I don't know, something about Cody still rubs me the wrong way when he delivers things sometimes. Like,
right.
It's very American Psycho feeling. Like, I never know when he's like, I never know when he's like ready to like go, like be serious and when he's just like being his business self or what. Like, he's got all the, he wears all these different hats. He's like Bruce. It's almost like Bruce Wayne-ish, like, you know, like a Batman kind of style too. And I guess he's very Christian Bale.
that's really funny. Well, you said like, he dresses like American Psycho and he calls himself American Nightmare. So,
so I thought it was cool. You know, I think those kind of things in time, like they're going to find ways to make them like really hit on it. You know, I thought it was a good idea, but I, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought there was kind of a weird thing where Tony Schiavone was like, "Oh, can I ride with you? Oh, let me ride with you." It was like, "Oh,
yeah." And then,
but I did think like Jack Swagger, like one thing that he did that was cool, like him using the knee to the nuts. That was fucking great. And then he slammed him into the limo. I thought that was fucking killer.
Well, the knee to the nuts is so great because
of his MMA match.
When he did it on the MMA match, I literally texted like I'm in a group chat and I was like. Yeah. I was like, I hope he fucking uses that as his gimmick. Like, I honestly hope that he went to Bellator and was like, all right, I'm going to knee this guy not to get disqualified. So now I have like a gimmick for my AEW fucking career because they're paying me way more money than I ever make fucking as a Bellator fighter. You know? Like,
right.
And now he's got a fucking awesome gimmick from it.
dope.
You know what I wanted to talk about SmackDown? The announced team.
Well, let's save it. Let's go to the Patreon.
Because
I feel right, like cool. I got so much to say about SmackDown and NXT, and we covered basically everything else I want to talk about. So let's do that over there, okay?
Okay. And so this is more of like a freestyle both shows. Like we're not going over Wednesday Night Wars.
No. That's just for this week since it's just we're doing arbitrary cutoff this week. But
the listeners know we're doing this shit on the fly right now. You know, like we're winging it this week. We're giving everybody a little bit of something.
Absolutely,
okay,
and the patrons deserve a little bit of the backstage, the behind the scenes spiciness. You know what I mean?
I love
what I'm saying is this week we go back to the normal structure. Don't worry, everybody. Okay, the normal structure, which is, by the way,
shanti.
Is just that the normal episode we cover basically everything, but the Patreon episode is only NXT AEW centric. Okay,
gotcha.
But we'll still talk about AEW and NXT on the main episode as well. But we go way deeper on the the Patreon app. Okay. Anyway,
fine.
Okay, so. What we're going to talk about on the Patreon, we're going to talk about all things SmackDown and NXT. We're going to talk about Cole, Daniel Bryan, all of our thoughts about that sick match. I'm going to give my top five wrestlers of the week. I'll give you a little sneak peek behind it. Number five, the number five best wrestler of the week is NXT, the entire company. Okay, that's the entire company of NXT. The concept of NXT is my number five top wrestler, and I'll explain why on there.
After you just spent like 30 minutes on it before saying, I can't really get into it.
I said the show, but I'm talking about the company. I'll give you my reasons why, and also this list is it doesn't mean it's necessarily my taste. This is this fact, which is who's the best. And I'll give the other four. We'll talk. We're gonna get deep. We'll get deeper into Tulo's my guys list. Yeah, I still gotta make mine, so maybe we'll do that next week or later this week. And we'll talk all things all things SmackDown all things NXT Invasion on SmackDown. Okay.
Love it.
Hey, everybody, thanks for supporting the show and listening to the show. And thanks for dealing with our delay this week. And the podcast will be out normal times this week, Thursday, normal app, Patreon app on Friday morning. Hey, everybody, well, I'll be back in studio this week, by the way.
Sick.
Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Wednesday.
When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.